Amen. Thank you, Judy. Open your Bibles here this morning, Book of Proverbs, as we continue our series through the Book of Proverbs. The title of my message here this morning, Living Today in Light of Tomorrow. Living Today in Light of Tomorrow. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Let us pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And Father, thank you for the eternal word of God that we hold in our hands. And Father, I thank you that the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Father, your word is full of grace and truth. And Father, thank you that we are the recipients of grace. We've been saved by grace, and we're kept by grace, and we live by grace. And I thank you that you're gracious unto us, Lord, as your people. Father, because we have this grace given to us, help us to live a life that honors you. And Lord, as we look at your word, we want to follow it because it gives us instruction in righteousness and godliness. And Lord, you give us your word that we might know the things that we should know to live a life that we should live. So help us toward that end, Father, and bless your word. Help me be a vessel that honors your Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and Father, that brings glory to your name. So, Lord, bless us as the saints of God as we gather around, that give us ears to hear, and may your words sink deep into our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to ask you a question, and I have a reason for asking this because I'm going somewhere with it. Do you have a routine before you go to bed at night? Do you have something you do this and do this before you go to bed? Maybe you'd like to have a glass of milk or some type of food, or you like to read a little bit, or maybe you watch the news, or and maybe you just got to tidy the house up a little bit. Or how many of you lock your doors at night before you go to bed? Is that a routine for you? You lock the doors, make sure your house is secure. Maybe you have pets and you got to make sure all your pets are taken care of and everybody's, and or maybe you have children and you go around checking and make sure they're all sleeping and well. But you have this routine and you just go to bed and you get up the next day. And that's what you're planning. You know, we all have these routines in life. Our scripture here says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And we all know our address, but what if your address was South Chaplain Tower South? What if that was your address last Thursday? You went through your routine, and you did everything, and you went to bed that night, and you were thinking tomorrow you would get up and it'd just be another day. But what happened down in Miami here this week, last Thursday? What happened to that 12-story tower? All those people went to bed that night, and guess what? They thought they'd wake up in the morning. They thought that there'd just be another day. They did their routine. They laid down to sleep. They got their pillows all comfy, and in the middle of the night, that tower just collapsed and fell in. You know, they say that the rooms were 10 feet, approximate roof, and they say everything pancaked, and there was only like 2 feet of space left between each apartment going down. That's how much it collapsed. You know, we all, as a nation, just, we feel that pain there for those people, and they say there's 159 missing at this point, and they try to rescue. The search and rescue effort continues today near Miami after a 12-story, this was on the 25th of this month, 12-story beach condo building partly collapsed overnight hours while residents were sleeping on Thursday. At least 4 people are known to be dead, and scores of others are believed to be trapped in the rubble. Today, rescue missions mean searching for 159 people who are still unaccounted for in Chaplain Tower South. "Every time we hear a sound, we concentrate on those areas," said Assistant Miami-Dade Fire Chief Raheed Jahela. "There's a growing concern that the death toll may rise sharply, so rescuers are racing to search for any living souls that may be trapped." Is Proverbs 27:1 a very practical verse for humanity? Is that a practical verse? Yeah. If it is, what does it say? Now, this is God, inspired word of God, God speaking, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow." Now, is there anybody here that owns tomorrow? Do any of you own tomorrow? Well, if you don't own it, how can you boast about it? Do you know what I'm saying? If you don't own it, how can you boast about it? I can't boast being a millionaire. Guess why? Because I don't have $1 million. And I don't know of anybody in our church family that is driving a Rolls Royce. Anybody here drives a Rolls Royce? So none of us in the church family here can boast that we drive a Rolls Royce, can we? You can't boast of something you don't own. And if you boast about something you don't own, then you are partly playing the fool, because you're foolish to think you can boast about something you never owned. Because we don't own tomorrow. Does any of us have a guarantee of tomorrow? We don't have a guarantee. There's no guarantees of tomorrow. So when it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, because one, we don't own it. And the second reason is, for thou knowest not what a day may what? Bring forth. You don't know what the day is going to bring forth. Like one fellow said, if I knew where I was going to die, I just wouldn't go there. Well, the problem is, you don't know where not to go, because you don't know everything. Because you don't know what a day is going to bring forth. So, if I don't own tomorrow, and I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring forth, should it speak to me? Now, Proverbs is contrasting the fool and the what? Wise man. You've got these two dimensions here. You got the wise person, you got the foolish person. A foolish person would boast about something they don't own, they don't have, and they don't know. That would be a foolish thing to do, a boast about those things. Now, a wise person will prepare for tomorrow. See, this does not say don't prepare for tomorrow, does it? It says don't boast. Now, Proverbs says, go to the ant, you sluggard, okay? What can we learn from an ant? It prepares its food for the winter. In the summertime, it gathers its food. It's working. You know, God wants us to plan, but he doesn't want us to boast. Now, turn to the book of James here. James chapter 4. How should we approach life? Proverbs is helping us approach life. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. In light of Proverbs 27:1, James chapter 4, verse 13 says these words. Come now, or go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, make a profit. We're going to buy, sell, we're going to go here a year. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, tomorrow. You don't know what is going to happen. You can make all these plans, for what is your life? Okay, the uncertainty of it. It is even as a what? Vapor. Okay, you ever seen a pot boiling on the stove? See the vapor's coming up. How long does that vapor last in the air? Just you see it, and it just what? Goes what? Away. That's what God says your life is like. I heard somebody say it like this. We got a lot of these tombstones out there. Somebody was born on this day, and they died on this day, and what's right between them? That little what? That little dash. That's your life. That's how quick it goes. Now, when you're young, you can't wait till you get your driver's license. When you get older, you hope you can hang on to your driver's license, okay? And that's how quick life goes. But you talk to an older person, and they'll tell you life goes by so what? Fast. Doesn't it go by fast? It does. And our life is like that vapor, or that little dash between when you're born and when you're going to die. So how do we see life? It is even a vapor that appears a little time and then vanishes away. For you ought to say, now this is a wise person, okay? Now, does God want us to plan? Absolutely. He wants to prepare. He wants us to plan. But who owns your tomorrow? God does. For you ought to say, the wise person, if the Lord what? Will. See, that's the key. See, it's not that we don't plan for tomorrow. But I'm not going to boast in my humanity that I'm going to do such and such and such, or this is going to happen this way, this way, and this way. I'm not going to boast about tomorrow because I don't own it, and I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. If the Lord what? Wills. Now, okay, I want to talk about this for a minute. Men can make great plans in life. I remember a father talking to his son. He just graduated from high school and then went out to eat. And the father says to the son, "Son, what are you going to do now that you graduate from high school?" He said, "Well, I'm going to go to college." "Great, son." And then, "What are you going to do after you finish college?" He said, "Well, I'm going to start my business." "Good, son. What are you going to do after you start your business?" "Well," he said, "well, I'm going to make a lot of money. I'm going to have a lot of employees, and I'm going to have a big company." And then the father said, "What are you going to do after that, son?" He said, "Well, I hope one day after I make enough money to retire." He said, "That's good, son. What are you going to do after you retire?" "Well, I'm going to enjoy life, and I'm going to travel the world because I'm going to have all this money." The father says, "Well, that's good, son. What are you going to do after you travel the world and retire?" And his son kind of got quiet for a minute. He said, "Well, I guess I'll die then at some point." And the father said, "What are you going to do after you die?" Do you see where the dad was going? Because when you're young, you have all these plans in life. You're going to conquer the world. But his dad was old enough to realize, son, one day you're going to die and meet who? Meet God. And so you have to have the long view, because if the Lord will. Now, that young man, he had a lot of plans. But what if his plans didn't turn out the way he wanted to? And that's where the rub comes in for a lot of people. Because they make all these plans, but they never give room for God in their plans. And then when their plans don't happen, they're devastated. The whole world's against them, you know, and it just goes downhill emotionally for them. And they never realize that God is the ultimate one, because you don't know what's going to happen on tomorrow. And you have your expectations way up here, and life hits you down here, and then all of a sudden you blame God, you blame your spouse, you blame everybody, and it just crumbles. Because you never allowed if the Lord what? Wills. See, people have, you know, they want to make it's nothing wrong with business, nothing wrong with making a profit. But just make sure that you say, if the Lord's will, we shall live and do this or do that. See, boast not about tomorrow. You don't know what it's going to bring forth. If you want to keep your mental and spiritual well-being, always let God be God in your life. Because you may have great plans. Now, Jim and Elizabeth Elliot went to the Aka Indians. And Elizabeth Elliot's husband was killed. How do you process that? Now, was she devastated? Absolutely. But there was a point in her life when she realized it was what? God's will. And she went back to the very people that killed her husband. Now, if you take it in the sense that we were going to do all this and reach the Aka Indians and do all this, and they never allowed God to be God in this. Now, you might say, why did God take such a fine young man home? You know, they estimate that there was over 5,000 missionaries that rose up and said, we will take his place around the world. I don't know how they figured it. I'm just telling you what I read someplace. And sometimes we don't understand the will of God and how he works. But I know all things work together for what? Good. Is Romans 8:28 still in the Bible? It's still there. It's still there. And so, if you think you own your tomorrows, I'm sorry, you don't. If you think you know what's going to happen tomorrow, you better beware. Because the people in that condo had no idea when they went to bed that night that that building was coming down on them. So, if that be true, how can I best prepare for tomorrow? Should I prepare for eternity? Is that being a wise man, prepare for eternity? I have no guarantee of what? Tomorrow. So if I want to be a wise man, what is Proverbs 27? Look at that again. Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of what? Tomorrow. Okay, I'm not going to boast about it, but I am going to prepare for it. I am going to plan for it, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Now, there's some people that think they got the world by the hand. Turn to Luke chapter 12. We're going to look at a man here. He was kind of the guy there in James, maybe, so to speak, in the book of James. He was going to buy and sell and make a profit. Luke chapter 12. And it says these words, Luke 12:13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Verse 14, and he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider or a ruler over you? And to drive this point home in verse 15, he said, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists of not in the abundance of the things he possesses. And he spake a parable in saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And when he thought within himself, now this is self-talk, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my goods, my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns, and I'll build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. What's those next two words in verse 20? But God. See, that's the will of but God. See, if you're in Proverbs 27:1, and you're boasting about tomorrow, and you leave God out of the equation, because if you look at this man here, he had the eye disease. This I will do. Will I bestow my... All he thought was I. He had the eye disease because his eye was all focused on himself. But God, see, that's a wise man. He's thinking about the future. But what did God say? But God said to him, Thy fool, see, the wise and the foolish, thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Did he make preparations for his soul? See, a wise man is thinking about eternity. What about eternity? What about eternity? Am I ready to meet God? Thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? Now, Sam Walton, Walmart, Sam's Club. How much money did he leave behind? Who said all of it? Yeah, he left all of it behind. That's how much he left, all of it. So, boast not of tomorrow. If you're living just for the things of this world, you're playing the fool if you don't think about eternity and where your soul's going to spend. You've got to think about eternity, because it's going to be here when you least expect it. We have no guarantee of tomorrow. None of us do. And a person that makes all the plans but leaves God out of the equation is playing the fool. Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You don't own it. God owns it. You don't know, God knows everything. So if I invest my life in only that which is temporal, I'm playing the fool. I'm playing the fool. God gives us this verse to help warn us. Now, if I have no guarantee of tomorrow, then how should I live today? If I have no guarantee of tomorrow, how should I live today? As if you like. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think this could be the last service you're ever in? Because what could it, you know, for the saints of God, when's the rapture going to happen? Anytime. Could be soon. This may be the last service. You ever thought about this as the last day I may ever live? Now, if that be true, would a wise man want to prepare for his family and for his children if this is the last day you may live? Would a wise man want to do that? Sure. That would seem reasonable, that a wise man would make preparations for the future for those he loves and those that depend upon him. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Now, in my reading, I've read stories about people, and I'm just in my mind, I'm running through these stories, that have told ministers of the gospel, that told their family that I know I need to get saved, and I'll do it next spring, I'll do it at the next revival meeting, I will do it And they always have this place out in the future they're going to do it. Now, think this through for a minute. If a sinner who knows they need to get saved, but they don't want to get saved because they love darkness rather than light, and they're in a state of mind that they don't want to move forward with the gospel, if you just add more time to that, what is that going to do for them? All they've done is harden their heart more. The Bible says today is the day of what? Salvation. Harden not your heart. And every day you push it off, you're hardening your heart just a little bit more. And for the sinner that puts off knowing God and knowing to get saved, do they have any guarantee they'll have the presence of mind or they'll have the time to repent? Do they have any guarantee of that? None. I knew a pastor. His dad, he begged his dad to get saved. He begged him and he begged him. And his dad said to him, son, when spring comes, I'll pray to get saved. And guess what happened to his dad? His dad was at a job site hanging drywall and he dropped dead of a heart attack just like that. His dad's friend called this pastor up and said, your dad just dropped of a heart attack. And I just remember the pastor just saying, I hope my dad did something before he hit the floor. But you see, what does this verse say? Now, is this wisdom? Is this wisdom 27:1? Is that wisdom? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you know it's not what a day shall bring forth. So for the sinner that God is knocking on the door of their heart and they say later, later, wait, wait, I don't want to do this right now. I'll do it in the future. Is that wise or is that foolish? That's foolish because you don't know if you'll have the presence of mind. I've been with people in the hospital. I was visiting a lady one time. Her daughter was saved, visiting her mom. Her mom could not speak. She was semi-conscious. And the only way you could communicate with her was she could squeeze your hand. She couldn't talk. She couldn't respond, but she could squeeze. And you could ask her a yes or no question. One squeeze meant yes, two squeeze meant no. That's how we could talk to her. And the fellow I was with, he was trying to lead her to the Lord and help her. And she, according to the number of squeeze, she asked Jesus into her life. Is that waiting almost to the edge? Is that wise to wait till you get to the edge like that to accept Christ into your life? That is, so if you have the presence of mind and you know you need to get saved or get right with God, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. Don't wait. God is telling sinners, you respond now. Today is the day of salvation. God wants us to respond to him when we have the chance. Psalm 90:12 says this, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. To number our days. Do you ever think about that? How many days are you going to have on this earth? Nobody knows. God knows. So, if you just have today, make the best of today that you can make it. Does that sound reasonable? Does that sound reasonable? If you just have today, make this the best day of your life. Now, if that be so, if there's a grievance that somebody has against you, what is the best day to go make that right? Today, right away. Because you have no guarantee of tomorrow. If you have a debt that you owe to somebody, and you know you owe it, but you won't pay it, when's the best day to make things right with that person? Is to do it today, immediately. Because we have no guarantee of tomorrow. If you go into glory, do you want all accounts to be settled, so to speak? Is that a good way to go into glory? There it is. That's a good way to go into. Let all your accounts be clear. Just say, Lord, if there's anything that I've done to offend you, it's not right in your sight, God, forgive me. And Lord, if there's anything that I've done wrong to other people, help me to make it right. And this is the day to do that because you have no guarantee of tomorrow. Now, does this verse imply a little sense of urgency about getting things done? Is there a little sense of urgency here? There he is. How many hours are there in a day? 24. Not 1 hour more, not 1 hour less. You're going to have tomorrow ahead of you. What are you going to do with those 24 hours God gives to you? How are you going to spend them? How are you going to spend them? If there's things that need to be made right, make it right. If there's an act of service that you can do to help God's kingdom, do that. If there's some sin you need to turn from, do that. Whatever God is wanting you to do, that's what you need to do. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let us pray here. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this scripture that we've looked at here this morning. Father, may we consider tomorrow in light of today, and consider today in light of tomorrow. Father, I pray that as God's people that we would honor you, Lord, in our time, in our talents, in our testimony, in our treasures, in our temple, that everything we have, God, belongs to you. And Lord, may the Lord's will be done, not my will, but thy will be done. And Father, help us toward this end, that as true blood-bought believers in Christ, that we would live righteous lives. And Father, we know the truth, and may the truth set us free. And we're set free when we start obeying the truth. And Father, I pray that we would not be foolish to pass by those things that you make so plain to us to do. So guide us in thy perfect way. And Lord, may we consider eternity. And Lord, may we measure each of our days and number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.